We'll be reading from Matthew's Gospel, the fourth chapter, beginning at the first verse, and this is the story of the temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. And he said to them, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the question is often asked is what is Lent? What is this season that we're in right now? And I want to give you the simplest and most serious answer that I can give, and some of you are going to think, "Wow, that just sounds like third grade Sunday school." But I'm just serious. What is Lent about? Lent is about Jesus, and it's about how, as Christians, we are people who are called to follow Jesus, to imitate Jesus. You know, usually we think of being an imitation of something. If you get something that's imitation such and such, you usually think, "Eh," but the best thing that we can be as Christians is authentic imitations of Jesus, people who imitate Jesus in our daily lives, try to live like Jesus. The Apostle Paul says that we live in Christ, that Christ is like the air that we breathe, the atmosphere that we are a part of. And that's our calling. If you claim the name Christian, do you know the name Christian, the title Christian, was originally meant little Christ? Not just someone who has some ideas about Jesus, but someone who is willing to put her or his life on the line and live in such a way and let Jesus live in and through them that people look at you and say, "I see Jesus." But we don't always do that, do we? We don't always live up to the example of our Lord. We come up short. We come up very, very short. We choose to do our own thing. We choose to go our own way. We call that sin. Even Christians, even though we have victory in Christ, still have sin in our lives. And so we have this great calling to live like Jesus and let Jesus live through us, but we mess that up. We mess that up all the time. And if you're new here or if you've been away for a while, I'm not wagging the finger at anybody in the room, but if you look around the room and if you look up here in the front of the room, you'll find people who mess that up all the time. And so Lent is a time to acknowledge that we have this great calling, this great gift of life in Jesus. But man, we need a redo. We need a do-over, we need a restart, we need a refresher. And so we've got this 40-day season leading up to Easter for that. And so one of the things we usually begin this season by doing is by looking at the temptation of Jesus. This is about how Jesus was tempted. And let me set the stage for you. So Jesus comes on the scene in Matthew chapter 3 as an adult, and he's baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, and he goes down and he comes up out of the water, and the Spirit descends on him like a dove. And anybody remember what the voice of God says? God says, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." And then the very next thing, the beginning of chapter 4, which is what we just read, Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit into the desert. And he faces three temptations from the devil. And I just want to go over these because I'm guilty of this. And I imagine that once you hear these initially, you're going to think a similar thing. Sometimes I'll think, well, Jesus was tempted, yes, but those temptations are not temptations for me. I cannot relate to his temptations. Anybody this week tempted to transform rocks into bread or to throw yourself off from a high building so that angels will catch you and everybody sees you, or to bow down and worship the devil so that you can become king of the world? Anybody? No. It sounds way out there. It sounds like that might be tempting for him, but I'm not sure how that's tempting for me. Let's look a little closer, and I think we'll see it. I want to show you the temptation that was given to Jesus, how it tempts us, and then I want to show you the direction that Jesus went instead. So let's look, this next slide will review the first temptation. So the devil says to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, remember what the voice of God said at his baptism? You are my son. If you are the Son of God, so there's the devil calling it into question right away. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread, because Jesus, he was hungry. He had been fasting. But Jesus answered him, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The devil is saying to him, you're the Son of God. I know you're hungry, but you don't have to be. If you're the Son of God, if you're really who God says you are, do you know what? You can have anything that you want. You can have anything that you want. You can have all the food that you want. You can have all the friends that you want. You can have all the fame that you want. If you are really the Son of God, do you know what you can do? You can walk right into Caesar's palace, not the casino, but really Julius Caesar or Augustus Caesar's palace, and you can say, excuse me, Mr. Caesar, that's my seat, and he'll have to abdicate. You can do that if you want. You don't have to have these, these lower class followers, Jesus. You don't have to have fishermen and tax collectors. You can have the best of the best. If you want it, you could have anything that you want. How is that tempting to us? I'm in my 42nd year of life. I'm 41 years old. When I really want to sound austere, I'll tell people, Matt Johnson, you'll be able to do this soon. I'll tell people, now that I'm in my fifth decade, I told that at the first service, and somebody came up to me and said, I'm literally twice your age. So, okay, fine. But I'm in my 42nd year. I'm 41 years old, and I've read quite a bit. I've watched too much television, anybody? I've been on the internet too many times, and here's one thing that I know. I know that the world that we live in wants each of us to believe that the meaning of life is to have stuff and more stuff and newer stuff and nicer stuff and not to be content with what you have but to always be going after stuff. If you don't believe me, do you know what one of the most commonly built structures in our wonderful region is right now? It's storage facilities so that people can put all their stuff in it. They're knocking down old buildings and they're building these nice new buildings. Oh, what's that going to be? Oh, it's more storage. Now, we had a storage facility for a while, got stuff in the attic that I haven't used in 5 years, don't need it, probably going to hang on to it. The meaning of life, the world says, is to have stuff, to get stuff. And so what do we do with the life that we've been given, the resources that we've been given, the time that we've been given? We use it to go after more stuff, ever new stuff, nicer stuff, shinier stuff, faster stuff. And the devil says to Jesus, you can turn these stones into bread. And so I think we understand that temptation just a little bit, that the temptation that we face in our lives is to have anything that we want, anytime, anywhere, right when we want it. And Jesus could have had that too, stones into bread. I just want to show you what Jesus did instead. So a little bit later in Jesus' ministry, this is Matthew chapter 14. In Matthew 14, Jesus is there in front of a big crowd. And he says, the people were hungry, and he took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And you know what he did? Jesus looked up to heaven, and he blessed, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the crowds. Look at the next slide. Next slide. And all the people who ate were filled. And we call this the feeding of the 5,000, don't we? But Matthew says 5,000 men ate, but also women and children. So it could be 20, 25,000 people ate. Do you see what Jesus did? Yes, he made bread. He made a lot of bread, but he didn't just transform rocks into bread to feed himself. What did he do with his power to make bread? He shared it. He gave it away. And that's our calling too. God has given us and blessed us. And the calling is not just to take everything for ourselves and get more stuff for ourselves, but the calling is to share this life with us. That's why I love our Wednesday night meal. Anybody remember the actual name of our Wednesday night meal? It's not technically Wednesday meal. It's shared supper. And it's a free meal for anybody who wants to come. Shared supper. You can be a church member, not a church member. You could have just moved to town. Shared supper. Come, we will share with you. I think it's a great thing for our church. I want you to come out this Saturday for Operation Inasmuch. We're going to pack 30,000 meals to share with the community. It's the way of Jesus, friends. That as we've been blessed, we bless others. We share in spirit and we share physically the blessings that God has given us. So the second temptation, so the devil takes Jesus to the holy city, that's Jerusalem, and he puts him up on the pinnacle of the temple, and he says, just throw yourself off if you are the Son of God. If you're the Son of God, if you're really who you say you are, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. Look at what happens next. And leave it right here. So the devil says to him, throw yourself down, because you know what'll happen? Angels will swoop right in and catch you. God's not going to let you hit the ground. You throw yourself off of that temple, the angels will come in and they'll catch you and they'll just drop you down just like that. And everybody will see it. See, the temple was the center of religious life for the Jewish people. There would have been a big crowd there. There would have been Pharisees, Sadducees, priests, elders. They all would have been there. And if Jesus had jumped off that temple and the angels had swooped in and landed, you know, he could have looked at the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all the people that gave him so much grief throughout his ministry, and he could have looked at them and said, any more questions, boys? But he didn't do that. The temptation was to be a celebrity. The temptation was to be a superstar. The temptation was to get all of the praise and all of the glory immediately through one spectacular act. I've also lived long enough to know that the world worships celebrities. Am I lying about that? The world worships celebrities. What's the greatest thing that you can hope for somebody? What's the greatest thing that you can be? That they'll be famous. That they'll be successful and they'll be known and they'll be famous. We were in a large city one time, and all of a sudden we saw this big rush of people, like whoosh, crowd goes by. And over here is this nice long black limousine. And we went, what is that? What is that? And somebody said, we heard that Martin Short is in that limousine. And I thought, really? Martin Short? And y'all, okay. So, but I was drawn over, so I went over there because I wanted to see the famous Martin Short. Some of you don't even know who that is. And we're just drawn like a moth to a flame when celebrities show up. Kathleen and I have been trying to catch up on the Marvel Universe. At night, we'll watch about half of one of those movies, and I found on the internet where you can watch them in order and actually sort of understand what's happening. So now I'm familiar with all these heroes that I never knew were heroes. Ant-Man, come on. So we've been watching these, and they've been entertaining, but what they remind me, again, that the world that we live in loves fame and worships superheroes. That is what we're drawn to. That's our definition of a hero, is somebody who has that kind of power that can wield that and make people pay when they are wrong. And that's what Jesus was tempted to be. I want you to look, though. Look at this next slide. So you skip to the end of Matthew's gospel. Instead of going the route of the superstar, the celebrity, this is Jesus on the cross, Matthew chapter 27. The people who passed by the cross derided Jesus, shaking their heads, saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself." Look at this. Look at this. What's the next line? "If you are" what? "The Son of God." The exact words that the devil speaks in the temptation. If you are the Son of God, do what? Come down off this cross. Prove yourself. Look like a hero. Look like a celebrity. But Jesus stayed on the cross until he had breathed his last. Next temptation. The devil takes Jesus to a very high mountain, and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor, and he says to Jesus, "All these I will give to you if you will do" what? "Bow down and worship me." If you'll bow down and worship me, Jesus, you're called the Christ, you're called the Messiah, you're called the Son of God. You can be king right now. You can skip the cross, you can skip the heartache, you can skip everything, and you can go straight to being king if you will bow down and worship me right now. So this takes place on a mountain. I want you to look at the next slide. This is the end of Matthew's gospel. Jesus goes to a mountain after he's been raised from the dead. And he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has" what? "Has" what? "Been given to me." By whom? Not by the devil, but by the Father who raised him from the dead. He's going to get the authority. He's going to get the power. He's going to get the glory. But he's not going to get it through a shortcut. He's not going to bow down and worship something that's not God in order to gain power. He takes the hard path. And we're tempted to worship, to bow down, to give our lives to things that are not God because they promise things that they can't deliver. They promise success and wealth and power and security. And we're tempted to bow down. We make bargains like that all the time. I want to leave you with two more passages of Scripture. This is Psalm chapter 1. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the way of the wicked or takes the paths of sinners or sits in the seat of scoffers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord." And that great psalm ends, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." There's two ways. There's the way of Jesus, and there's the way of temptation. Look at this one from Matthew 6. Will you read this with me? Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate that leads to destruction is easy, and there are many who take it, for the gate is narrow, and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it." The way is hard. It's difficult. Jesus didn't take the easy way. As Christians, we're not called to take the easy way. And so that's what this season is for, is that together, we'll get back on that right path and discern the narrow gate. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you that you have called us to such a great mission to be your disciples. We confess that our sin has separated us from you and from that great calling. In these 40 days together, we pray that you would put us back on the right path, give us an extra measure of your Spirit, that we might resist every temptation, and that we might live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.